became George Chapman, using Annie Georgina Chapman's name.
That's how he got the name?
That's how he got the name. Wow. George Chapman.
So do you think he was covering his tracks when he was doing these murders?
Yes, he was constantly covering his tracks. He was changing, he might have been changing his appearance. He was certainly changing his lifestyle. He was changing his name. He was changing his job. He was changing his location when he was where he was living, constantly. So here's an individual, and he's not a normal individual. He's constantly looking over his shoulder. So he's definitely suspicious that somebody's tracking him. Now, whether or not what not they were, doesn't matter. But he was always looking over his shoulder.
So did he commit any other crimes?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, one of the crimes has been linked to other serial killers. He basically firebombed his own pub, and that was the pub on called the Monument Pub.
Wait, why did he do that?
Well, he wanted the money. Oh. He wanted the insurance money. He was not above doing a little insurance fraud, that's for sure.
Wow.
But what's interesting about that historically is that the woman he was living with helped him commit the crime.
That's sick.
And what's more interesting is after he firebombs the Monument pub, he gets another pub called the Crown Public House, another bar. Okay. So it doesn't matter whether he's firebombing his own pub, they gave him another bar, for Christ's sake. Okay. So, I mean, this guy had some personality going on there. But unfortunately, like I said, for the woman who helped him out, she ended up being one of his victims. Now, one of the interesting things about the poison murders is it was the last series of murders that he committed. And again, for another reason, these murders were done for profit, for one. But also, these murders, these victims were murdered slowly with antimony poisoning.
Why that?
Well, at that time, Kozlowski had old medical books that says antimony poisoning can't be tracked. Yeah, doctors can't find out what's going on with it. He was wrong, and eventually it cost him his life. But he thought he couldn't be tracked. And what was also interesting about that is, as he is slowly poisoning, you have to be an expert poisoner to kill someone with antimony poison.
Well,
you give, good question. You give someone a heck of a lot of antimony poison, they're going to throw it up, they're going to vomit. So it doesn't stay in the system, can't kill them.
All right.
You have to give them just enough for them to build up a little bit of tolerance so they can kill them. So it's a very, very slow process. And what's interesting about the slow process, he was collecting body parts as Jack the Ripper. That was his trophies. His trophies with this series of murders was much cleaner. He was taking photographs. And one of the photographs in my book, The Poison Murders of Jack the Ripper, is a photograph of one of his victims. She's standing there. He's sitting there. He took the photograph. And you're looking at a murder being committed in front of your eyes.
So this guy is sick enough that he's taking pictures of his victims in different stages?
Yes, different stages of his murder, yes. Okay. Yeah, he's taking photographs. That's his series of photographs. So he was probably pretty much a sick puppy. So he must have enjoyed the work. I mean, it didn't bother him to kill anybody at all. And what's even more interesting is that the last building he was in was the Crown Public House. That's at 213 Borough High Street. And that building is still there. At least the facade is still there, the backyard is still there, and the basement is still there. Now, if anybody wants to go there, you go south on London Bridge, not the Tower Bridge that everybody remembers, but it's London Bridge. The London Bridge right now is Lake Havasu. This is the next version. You go south on there, down Borough High Street, round the corner, 213 Borough High Street, you'll see a facade of the Crown Public House. That's where he was arrested. And I had contacted Scotland Yard that perhaps the best way to try to solve this case, which would have probably solved the Ripper murders, was to go there. This guy was a collector. He wanted to make sure he had his body parts. He would never have risked his life and allow these body parts to escape him. So if you're going to solve the case, I told him, go to the basement, look in there, see a spot on the wall that's been plastered over, and guess what? You'll probably find a body part right there. Now, I know that they went there after I contacted them.
Okay.
And they were there for 3 days with police tape, and that's as far as I got. They're not talking to me anymore.
Do you think that Scotland Yard has found enough evidence to solve this case?
If they found what I think they found at 213 Borough High Street, the basement of the Crown Public House,
okay,
and I personally feel they did find something there, since they're not saying too much about it,
right,
I think they've solved the case. I think they know who Jack the Ripper was. I think they know that Abilene knew, and I think they've known it now for a few years. And I think the bottom line is that eventually, they're going to have to make an announcement that they have solved this case. Now, not necessarily using ancient techniques of investigation. They probably have to use some modern techniques, a little DNA on the body parts. That would definitely confirm these came from Jack the Ripper victims. So I think they've found their killer. I think they're going to have to make an announcement one of these days. And one of these days, Scotland Yard's going to jump up and say, yes, sir, Severino Antonovich Kozlowski was, in fact, alias Jack the Ripper.
Amazing. Before the podcast, we were discussing Orson Welles and the Black Museum.
Right.
Tell us more about this.
Well, in 1952, Orson Welles was looking to do a half-an-hour radio show called The Black Museum. And for those who don't know that, Scotland Yard has their own museum of crime, is what they call it. The press referred to it as the Black Museum. And basically, it's the second floor of Scotland Yard's headquarters, and it's a museum of crime. And basically, it's a training museum. It has a lot of critical items that were used in murders, etc., etc., mostly murders. And they have two rooms. One room has the artifacts. The other room has a file, basically file cabinets. And what happened is, if you're famous, if you're royalty, if you're well-known, you can go in there. But it's a private museum. They use it for training. It's not really an open museum. You can pay a couple of bucks and you can go in and watch. So Orson Welles and his producer were allowed to go in there. And he was looking for artifacts that he could do half-an-hour radio shows on in 1952. Well, Orson and his producer and director went in there, and about 10 years later, he was asked, well, were all these shows fictional, or did you find something in Black Museum? And he basically made it known that every single show had to do with an artifact that we held in our hands that we saw in the Black Museum, a shoelace, a knife, a scissors, you know, a piece of glass, anything, a pipe. And one of the things he got was a bag. Now, that show ended up being the 44th show of the Black Museum, half an hour, 30-minute show. And the show was called The Razors. But if you're listening to the show, there's not a single word in there about razors. But if you're familiar with the George Chapman case, the Burl Poisoner case, you soon realize that you're listening to a description of the Burl Poisoner with the three murders he did as his last series.
Okay.
And the listener, if they knew about it, must have been thinking, well, what's this thing about razors? Well, after the George Chapman character is arrested and he's been interrogated, the sergeant is busy bringing back all these artifacts. He talks to the officer in charge, the inspector. The inspector pulls him into the office at the very end of the show, shows him a file, and basically says, Sergeant, by looking at this file and knowing what you know now of this case, would you suspect that this individual is Jack the Ripper? Now, we're talking 1952. Orson Welles goes into the Black Museum of Scotland Yard's headquarters, holds an item in his hand about the Burl Poisoner that convinced him that George Chapman, Severino Kozlowski, in 1952, was in fact Jack the Ripper.
What happened?
Well, here's the problem. First of all, Scotland Yard will not admit that they have a file of Jack the Ripper at their station, at their museum. There is no artifacts there for Jack the Ripper. There are no files on Jack the Ripper, and there are no files on the Burl Poisoner case.
In the Black Museum?
In the Black Museum. So my question is, why would he hold something in his hand that convinced him in 1952 that he believed Severin Kozlowski was Jack the Ripper, and Scotland Yard is not going to admit they have it?
Why is that?
Well, if this case was solvable in 1952 by finding an artifact, then that means that for at least 100 years now, Scotland Yard has had something in their headquarters on the second floor that would have at least convinced maybe a jury that they could have solved the case. So the problem is, how does Scotland Yard, who has a very great reputation of being able to solve murder cases, how do they admit to the world that they very possibly could have had in their files for a long, long time evidence of who exactly Jack the Ripper was?
What's your belief?
Well, I think I think they know who the killer is. I think they know it was Severino Kozlowski, and I think they have the evidence to prove it. So what they're going to have to do is try to solve this case, or at least bring it to the public's attention by using modern methods that were not available in 1888. I think it's time that they actually identified Severino Kozlowski as Jack the Ripper. I think eventually they're going to do that.
Fantastic.
It would be nice.
So my final question for the day. Are you planning on writing any more Ripper books?
Well, I've been interested in the case for a long, long time, and of course I have four books on a Ripper subject. There are only a couple areas I think that we should look at that I haven't been able to write about yet. And to be honest with you, I'm doing a little research. We're trying to put together some information on his before Jack the Ripper life. And I would like to write a book basically with a working title of Before He Was Jack. So I'd like to get involved with what was going on before he left Poland, all the way up to and including the first Martha Tabor murder in the Ripper series.
Fantastic. With that, I'm going to wrap this up. I want to thank everyone for listening in. If you've got any comments, remarks that you want to do, please post them below the video. If you liked it, please show that you liked it. We would appreciate anything that you have to say. Let's be nice. But otherwise, I appreciate all of you listening, and you guys have a great day.
Thank you.
Have a great one. Bye-bye.